The main subject of the parsha is really two things. This week's parsha talks about the Seder of Yom Kippur and the Isser of Arayos of forbidden relationships. But at the very end of the parsha, of that section, the Torah has the source that the rabbi is allowed to make rabbinic laws. Ushmartim es mishmarti. So people often ask, who says the rabbis have the right to make these laws? The Torah says. The Torah says explicitly that you should make laws to protect my laws. That's pretty straightforward. So what I want to talk tonight is about Dinei Derabbanan. I want to give some important yesodos, some important foundational ideas about why we have Dinei Derabbanan and the role of them and how we relate to them and how we should be sensitive in appreciating them as well. The Rambam in his Hakdama, his introduction to the Mishnayos, he lays out that Moshe Rabbeinu received five aspects of Torah Shebaal Peh and Har Sinai. The five are as follows. Perushim HaMekubalim, the standard interpretations of the text of the Torah. So for example, that means, how do you understand what a pre-Eitz Hadar is? But the Torah says you should have a beautiful fruit on Sukkos. That could be anything. It could be an apple, it could be a kumquat, it could be a pineapple. How do I know it's an Esrog? Because that is the Perush HaMekubal. When Moshe Rabbeinu taught those laws to Bnei Yisrael, he said, the translation of pre-Eitz Hadar is an Esrog. That's exactly what it means. That's the first thing he received in Har Sinai. The second thing he received are the Yud Gimel Midos Shahatorah Nidreshes Behem, the 13 hermeneutic principles in which we derive laws from the Pesukim of the Torah, that the Torah is teaching us halachos beneath the surface, in between the lines. So for example, the concept of a kal v'chomer, right? If the halacha is like A over here, how much more so should be over here? Or a gzeirah shava, where we take two words and we compare them because they're similar in style with the halacha is over here, we find the same thing over here. So for example, we have matzah on the night of the on 15th of Pesach, so too we have to have bread on the 15th night of Tishrei in the Sukkah as well. Those are principles in which we derive deeper understanding, which is also a din d'oraisa. Even though the rabbis may explain these principles to us, but those are all the status of Torah, dinim from the Torah, mid'oraisa. And the third category of Torah level, Torah Shebaal Peh, is halacha lemoshe misinai, is halacha Moshe Mi-Sinai, that where there's no overt reference anywhere in the Torah about this particular halacha, but we have a tradition from Moshe Rabbeinu. So for example, we find a lot about by the building of Sukkah, some of the principles of Sukkah, and or the principles of tefillin, right? The tefillin have to be squared and black and all those things. Those are all halacha Moshe Mi-Sinai. You could read the Torah backwards and forwards, inside and out. You would never find a reference anywhere to the coloring of tefillin. Then the Rambam says Moshe Rabbeinu received the ability to do two things midirabanan. One is gzeros and the other is takanos. Let's begin. Let's see what he says over here. V'achel karvi, the fourth part, is Hemdina Mashir Tiknum Hanaviyim V'Chachamim B'chol Dor V'Dor. These are the laws that were established by the prophets in the Chachamim in every generation. Al Derech HaSayag V'Hagedol Torah, in order to make a fence and a protection around the Torah. V'Hem Asher Tziva Hashem L'Taknam B'Mamar HaKlali, and this is where Hashem commanded us to establish these in a general sense. V'Amru U'Shmartem Es Mishmarti. And this is the pasuk in Parshas Achrayimos, that you should protect my commandments. Uva Kabal, the Gemara says in Yevamos Chaf Aleph, the Gemara there is talking about the issue of Shnios La Rayos. The Torah explicitly says who's allowed to have relations and marry who and who cannot, but the rabbis then came and added additional people that you cannot marry on top of what the Torah says. That's called Shnios, a second level of Arayos. The Gemara asks, where did the rabbis get the right to prohibit other people to marry? And the Gemara says, from here, the fact that we have a principle of asu mishmeres the mishmarti, make protections for my mitzvah. Similarly, the Gemara in Yuma Daf Chav Ches tells us that by Avram Avinu, Eikav Esher, Shama Avram Bekoli, B'Yishmar Mishmarti Mitzvosai Chukosai V'Sarosai, Hashem loves Avram Avinu because he kept he was Vayishmor Mishmarti, he kept my mitzvos, indicating Avraham Avinu even observed Gzeiros Derabbanan. Again, the Torah refers to them as Mishmarti, referring to rabbinic laws. Now the Torah tells the Chachamim they are allowed to make these takanos, according to the Rambam. Now if you violate a Din Derabbanan, according to the Rambam, you also inherently violate a din d'oraisa. Right? The Rambam creates a double-edged sword. Every single time you violate a rabbinic law, you're also at the same time violating a Torah law, because the Torah says you have to follow the rabbis. That's the clear understanding here, which then raises the question amongst the poskim, well, what about the principle of safek derabanan lekula? We know that if I'm in doubt whether I fulfill a mitzvah derabanan, let's say I don't remember if I lit Hanukkah candles, and I wake up in a cold sweat at 2 o'clock in the morning, and maybe I should wake somebody else up in the house as well so I can fulfill Hanukkah candles, and I'm not sure if I did it, safek derabanan lekula. If I'm sure if I did a mitzvah derabanan, I don't have to do it. And suffik d'oraisa, if I'm unsure if I did a mitzvah d'oraisa, then I have to go do it. If I don't remember if I waved lulav and esrog on the first day of Sukkot, I have to go wave it again, because I'm not sure if I did the mitzvah. And if I have a suffik, a question about d'oraisa, I have to go and do it again. But how does that work? If every d'rabbanan is really also a Torah commandment attached to it, then how do you ever have a suffik d'rabbanan, right? Because the example of, let's say, hearing the Megillah. I don't remember if I heard the Megillah. They'll say, well, safek derabanan lekula. I don't have to go here if I'm not sure. Ah, but every derabanan carries the mandate to follow the Torah as well, so maybe I should have to go listen to the Megillah again. That's the question. So the answer is either one of two things. The rabbanan are the ones who said that something that is mutter according to the Torah or not mandated according to Torah is now mandated, right? The rabbi is the one who said this is now prohibited for you to do, or it's something that you have to do. According to them, there's a suffix, then there's no isser or mandate. Meaning, the chachamim did not include the suffix in their takana. When the rabbis made a rule, they had a trapdoor attached. And the trapdoor was, whenever you find yourself in a doubt, you may not go and do it again. You don't have to go and do it again. And therefore, according to the Rambam, every single time you have a suffix about a derabbanan, rabbinic law, the rabbis included an escape clause, that if you have a doubt about it, you don't have to do it. That's how the Rambam would explain it. The Ramban argues with that logic. The Ramban says that the mitzvah to listen to the rabbis is not because of Ushmarti Mishmarti, or a pasuk later on in Devarim, Lo Sasur Min Hadavar Hazeh, you shall not deviate from their words right or left. Rather, the Gemara in Shavua says that there was a Shavua, there was an oath that was put upon Klal Yisrael at Har Sinai. It was a Shavua Ladoros. It was an oath for all generations. And it was Chal on our grandparents and for all time as well. And therefore, the Ramban says that the mitzvah to listen to Derabanan is because of this oath that we have to follow all these laws that come along with it as well. And therefore, if I have a suffix, it's not because the Torah is telling me I have to do it, or if I have a question, my mandate to do a Derabanan is because of the oath that we took upon ourselves at Har Sinai to follow those rabbinic laws. What are examples of takanos? So he said a few. You know, not reading from an oil lamp on Shabbos, the Gemara talks about. You might come to play with the lamp. The isser of eating milk and chicken together, all takanos or gzeros derabanan. The Rambam in the next piece makes the following point. V'achel kachamishi, the fifth section is, himdinim asher niskanu al derech esponus, v'habas ha-toweles binyanim hanogim bein b'nei adam. These are things, not where the rabbi said, I don't want you to do A, because I need to protect the Torah, but rather I'm going to establish a new thing, right? Generally, gzeros, or shmarti mishmarti, is to prohibit things. And takanos, which we're talking about here, are to establish things. Yimashein lo tosefes b'torah v'lo chisarom. O b'dvarim b'dvarim shehem takanos b'nei adam b'inyanei ha-Torah. We are establishing things based on Torah principles. V'yim asher yikrum chachamim takanos u'minhagos. Now, not minhagim like you have minhagim, to ikabrachs or nanikabrachs or kidneys or things like that. It means the laws established by the Sanhedrin. Purim is an example of a takana, right? Chazal established the takana of Purim, so we should remember the miracle of Purim. Moshe, for example, made one of the first takanos, which was the reading of the Torah. Reading the Torah Monday and Thursday, and even on Shabbos, is a takana of Moshe Rabbeinu. There's a mitzvah in our Torah to read the Torah on certain days, but to read the Torah on a cycle every 3 days comes from Moshe Rabbeinu. And we also know of takanos of Rabbeinu Gershom, right? He made certain takanos in Bein Adam L'Chaver, how we treat one another, you know, not reading other people's mail, you can't divorce a person against her will, you can't marry more than one wife, all those things from Rabbeinu Gershom, those are in the realm of Bein Adam L'Chaver. Now, those takanos are not the same level of takanos that we have in the Gemara. A takana from Chazal, a takana from the Sanhedrin, that is, that's binding on all Klal Yisrael. A later takana after the Gemara explain the Mefarshim, is only established on that group that it was made for. No rabbi nowadays, or even Rabbeinu Gershom, can make a takana that's established on all of the Jewish people. Only the Sanhedrin, or the rabbis of the Gemara, can make such a decree. Another example would be, that's similar to this, Bein Adam L'Chavero that was established, a takana that was established for Bein Adam L'Chavero, would be the fact that metaltalin, movable property, you can only acquire it with a kinyan mashicha, by pulling it into your possession. According to the Torah, if I pay money for something, that's enough for me to acquire it, even if I have not taken the item into my possession. But the rabbis were concerned, because what was happening, people would pay for something, and then the merchandise would burn, there'd be a fire in the guy's warehouse, and the stuff would burn, and the guy would say, well, sorry, you paid for it, so, you know, sorry that your chair, you know, went into flames, but you already paid for it, so you can't do anything about it, it's yours now. So the rabbis did not want that to happen, so they said the only way that the possession actually transfers when you bring it into your possession. That, again, was something done in Takana in order to protect people, Bein Adam L'Chavero. Rav Asher Weiss writes in many places that there he sees three types of derabbanans. One are gzeros, which are laharka chas adam in avera, to distance a person from sin. Pirkei Avos says, asu sayag la Torah. I've already helped you out this week so far in Pirkei Avos for this week's learning, so we're already covered there. You have to make a fence for the Torah. The Yavamos Reis says, asu mishmer l'mishmarti. Then there are mitzvos, like making 100 brachos every day, near Chanukah, reading the Megillah. That source, he says, is the mitzvah of lo sasur, that you shall not deviate from their rules. And then he says there are things called takanos, laws that dictate Jewish life and give structure. Takanos hashavim, returning certain laws about returning stolen objects. Takanos hashuk, takanos of aksuba. Those are things that are done for Jewish daily life. So he sees it as gzeros, mitzvos, and takanos. Okay, let's move on to another question about derabbanans, which is, why are the rabbis not violating a different pasuk in the Torah? The Torah says, in two places, Bal Tosif and Bal Tigra. You shall not add and you shall not detract from the Torah. Which leads to the question amongst the Yishonim, why isn't every rabbinic law adding on to the Torah? Are they not adding other mitzvahs to the Torah, Megillah, Chanukah, things like that? So this is a question that Tosfos asks in Maseches Rosh Hashanah. There the Gemara is famously discussing the issue of that we don't blow the shofar when Rosh Hashanah falls on Shabbos. And that gets everybody in his hizzy about how the rabbis are allowed to go and simply be okay davar in the Torah. How can they simply say, you're not going to fulfill the mitzvah in the Torah? So look at the comments of the Rashba over there in Gemara and Rosh Hashanah. He says, Mistamba delo kasha klal. He says, I do not see this as a question at all. Delo amru hasam de'ika mishum bal tosif. Ela b'mashu mosif midas ahatzmo. It's only bal tosif when I feel that I am adding something on my own to the Torah. Kagon kohen shehosif bracha mishalo. Right? We just observed Pesach. Let's say the kohen went up on Pesach to do birchas kohanim, and he said, ooh, and I also want to add a fourth bracha to birchas kohanim, that you should all, you know, do well in Parnassa this year, and the Mets should make it to the playoffs, whatever it may be, and they add something. That is usher, because you're adding something to a Torah commandment. Vinami yashin b'shmini b'sukkah miskavim mitzvah. A person who sleeps in the sukkah on the eighth day Shmini Atzeres, and they think it's done for a mitzvah. If you think you're fulfilling a mitzvah to oraisa, that's the problem. That's bal tosif. That's when you're adding to the Torah. Inami mashira nish'arev mehen achas b'matan arba k'yotzveh. Be'elu, or you add, you know, add another, putting another drop of blood on the Mizbeach. Avamasha amdu chachamim v'tichnu l'tzorach enkan bal tosif, says the Rashba. When the rabbis go and they establish a rabbinic law to protect the Torah, that's not bal tosif. Tekvar amra Torah al pi ha-Torah shirucha, they gave them permission to go and do this. As long as the rabbis make sure and clear that everybody knows this is a rabbinic law, not a Torah law, then says the Rashba, in no way is that going to be a violation of bal tosif adding to the Torah. Min ha-Torah, right, we know, there's a mitzvah to take dal minim on the first day of Sukkos, right? It's a din derabbanan to take them the rest of the days of Sukkos. Zeichel mikdash, so we remember what was done in the Beis HaMikdash. This is allowed, why? Because it's clear that it's zeichel mikdash, it's to remember the Beis HaMikdash, and it's not from the Torah. If any Jew now goes and thinks and says, I'm waving lulav on the third day of Sukkos because the Torah commands to do that, that would be bal tosif. But as long as he understands that it's a rabbinic law, that's 100% okay. Now, the authority of the Chachamim to make gzeros has certain restrictions for this reason. The Gemara says, right, Ushmartin is Mishmarti, and Rashi adds on that Gemara, the lo mishmeres le mishmeres. You can have a rabbinic law that protects a Torah law, but you can't have a rabbinic law that protects another rabbinic law, because that's overreach. That is extending themselves too far. And every single time that happens in the Gemara, or it looks like that, the Gemara immediately raises his hand and says, ooh, but wait a second, you can't do that. You already have a rabbinic law, the Gemara in the beginning. The Beitza discusses this, and the Gemara in Shabbos discusses this as well, and the Gemara has to explain why perhaps it's not a problem in those areas. You can't have a gzeira la gzeira, a double rabbinic law on one particular mitzvah. If the Chachamim are concerned that a situation may lead to someone violating a Torah law, that's allowed to make a gzera, a susa agla Torah. But a concern that someone might violate their own mitzvah derabanan, says the Torah, no. That's overstepping. That looks very, very much like Baal Tosif, that you're treating your rabbinic law like a Torah commandment. In fact, the Prima Gadim, right, the Prima Gadim has an introduction to Shulchan Aruch called the Psicha HaKolelis, the general introduction. It really is, in its essence, an introduction to Torah Sheba'al Peh, principles of halacha. And he says that if a Beis Din were to make a gzeira l'gzeira, they would be in violation of Baal Tosif, adding on to the Dinim of the Torah, and an Isra applies to individuals and to Beis Din as well. And even though the Torah authorized the Chamim to make and add new Isurim, but when it's inappropriate, it is a violation of Baal Tosif. So they need to know not to extend themselves too much. Similar principles found in the Gemara, where the Chachamim are authorized to make a Gzeira Derabanan only if there's a real concern you might violate an Avera D'Oraisa. But if it's very, very far-fetched, it's something that is Milsa D'Lo Shchicha, something that is so unlikely it'll ever happen, the rabbis have no right to make a rabbinic law to protect that possibility. Why? Because that looks like they're encroaching on the Torah. You can't just go and make laws whenever you feel about it. It has to, if it's very rare, it would be a violation of Baal Tosif by instituting such a gzeira. So people like to say, but Rabbi, am I really going to go riding on Shabbos on my horse and pull off a branch? So the answer is you don't know, because you don't ride your horse that often, so you don't really know. But in an agrarian society where people did ride horses, apparently it was common. Rabbi, if I go, swimming in the lake, I might make a raft in order to save my life. I don't know. It doesn't happen that often that we go swimming in lakes in our society. So we have to assume that in the days when Chazal made those gzeros, it was something that was common according to the society that they did live in. Now, a couple of other aspects about Darabanans. The authority of the Chachamim to institute gzeros goes even further than just prohibiting that which have otherwise been permissible. The Chachamim are authorized to institute a gzera even if it is conflict with a mitzvah d'oraisa. That's the Gemara Rosh Hashanah about not blowing shofar on Rosh Hashanah. So, for example, that case of Rosh Hashanah, and they instruct us not to do a mitzvah lest it leads to the accidental chilul Shabbos of carrying. And the license, this license is again of what we call akiras davar min haTorah, to be oker, to uproot something from the Torah, can be seen in other examples as well. The iser against tying tzitzis onto a linen garment. Tzitzis are generally wool. The garment is linen. You can't have wool and linen together. Even though the Torah says you must tie wool tzitzis on a linen garment, you have to. The rabbis were so scared that someone would mess up and they end up having wool and linen together, they said, no, you may not tie wool tzitzis on a linen garment. Even the Torah says you should put tzitzis on a linen garment. Why did they do that? Because they were concerned. They were oker davar min haTorah and prohibited us from doing that. So, what is the source that gives the Chachamim that right to do that? It's one thing to say, okay, rabbis, I get it. You can make Purim and Hanukkah, and we love the candles and the Megillah, and it's very nice, and that's fun. And you can tell us that we can't move pens on Shabbos because we might come to write with them. Muksa, I understand 100%. But now you're going to go in conflict with the Torah? Asum mishmeres the mishmarti. Not go and get rid of my mishmaros. That's not what the Torah says. So the pasuk says that when a person has a question as how to follow the dinim of the Torah, ki palei mimcha davar lemishpat, he should go ask the members of the Beis Din HaGadol, the Sanhedrin, what the din is, and whatever they paskin, he's obligated to follow. And then the Torah says, lo sasu min hadavar asheruch alocha, asher agidu lecha, yamin usmol. You shall not deviate right or left from the psak of the Beis Din HaGadol. The significance of mentioning yamin usmol, right or left, is unclear. And that makes all the mefarshim quite concerned. What does that mean? I shall not deviate from their words, right or left. Rav Elchanan Wasserman has a major treatise on Torah Shebaal Peh and Derabbanan called Divrei Sofrim. And the new sefer from Rav Shechter is also called Divrei Sofrim, about rabbinic law and Torah Shebaal Peh. Rav Shechter elaborates on this point as well. So let's explain what Rav Elchanan Wasserman says. Rashi on Chumash understands this based on the Sifri. The Sifri says as follows: Afilo Omer Lecha Al Yamin Shehu Smol VeAl Smol Sheyamin. Even if the rabbis tell you that your right is your left and your left is your right. Apparently a blatant mistake, because I know that this is my right, I know this is my left, still says the Sifri, apparently, you're obligated to listen to the Psach L'Chachamim. You know intellectually you're 100% wrong. You still must listen. The Ramban, in his comments on the Sefer HaMitzvos of the Rambam, he quotes the Sifri and says the Sifri cannot be correct. There's no possible way that is the meaning of the Sifri. The first Mishnah, Masachas Horio, says that if the Beis Nagadol makes an error in Psach, and a student, a Talmud of the Beis Din HaGadol who follows their Psak, is covered by the Korban that the Beis Din has to bring alone for their mistake. There's no principle of infallibility in the Torah. If the Beis Din HaGadol makes a mistake, they have to bring a Korban. However, if the student of the person in the Sanhedrin knew with certainty that the Beis Din was wrong, he is not covered by the Korban, because he was not allowed to listen to them. If you know for sure that your rabbi, your Rebbe, is mistaken in Psak, he's 100% wrong, you know with clarity that he's wrong, you may not listen to that. That would be tantamount to eating something with a hashkacha that you know is not reliable, right? I know for sure this is wrong, you go and eat it anyway. Oh, but there's a stamp with Hebrew writing in the circle on it, so it must be kosher. No, if you know it's not reliable, you can't go and eat it. And therefore, the Mishnah says that one is not allowed to listen to the Beis Din HaGadol if he knows that they are in error and is contradicting Afilu Omar Lecha Al Yamin Shehu Smol. So how do we understand that statement of the Sifri? The Sifri cannot be telling us, says the Ramban, that if they say your right is left, your left is right, that you must follow them, even though they're wrong. It can't be, because the Mishnah is clear that if you know they're wrong, you can't follow the Psak. So the Ramban al-HaTorah explains, this is what the Sifri means. The Sifri means that even if it appears to you that right is left, in other words, the Medrash is referring to a situation where it seems to you the Sanhedrin's decision is wrong, like the right is left, and the left is right. The Pasuk is telling us, Achiev, that you have to have Emunas Chachamim, and you have to assume that the rabbis are correct, even if it seems to you that right is left and left is right. That's what it means. Meaning, not that you know they're wrong, what you have to do is to give them the benefit of the doubt. With the Sanhedrin passage like this, you give them the benefit of the doubt, and you follow their Psak, assuming you don't understand. That's the second understanding of that statement of right or left. Rav Elchanan Wasserman, who we want to get to right now, has a different understanding. Different than Rashi, different than Ramban. Let's again. The Rashi says, even if you know they're wrong, you have to do it anyway. The Ramban says, even if you think you're wrong, they're probably not wrong, and you have to believe that they're making the right statement. Rav Elchanan Wasserman says, no. The Sifri is not referring to a situation where the Chachamim are making a mistake. A psak, an error, may not be binding. If you know the Sanhedrin is wrong, you know the rabbi is wrong, you may not follow that psak. I'm not talking because you think like intellectually or like you have like an emotional issue with the psak. I mean, in halacha, you know that the rabbi is making a halachically incorrect statement. Therefore, he says, the chacham are fully aware of what the Torah law is. But nevertheless, they are telling people to violate the laws of the Torah due to a particular concern. Such as not blowing the shofar in Rosh Hashanah that falls in Shabbos. In such an instance, the din says, Lo sasser afilu al yamin shu smol, ve'al smol shu yamin. Says Rav Elchanan Wasserman, that's the explanation of the Medrash. Right or left, right means that, but the Torah says I'm supposed to blow shofar today. The Chacham say, but no, but not today. That's where you see, but the right says I blow shofar. The Chacham say, but left says you can't violate Shabbos. In that case, you follow them in that case. That's the source, says Rav Elchanan Wasserman, that the rabbis have the right to uproot a law from the Torah based on their judgment. That's how he comes out. So according to Rav Elchanan, that's the source. So we have Ushmartim Mishmarti. We have Lo Sasur, you have to follow the laws. And we have a third source that telling us that they can go as far even to uproot a law from the Torah. Now, when it comes to the Yud Gimel Midos Shehatorah, the Dreshes Bahen, the 13 principles that the rabbis use in order to derive Torah law. So we know, and this is sometimes something that people don't realize this, a later Beis Din, in the days of the Sanhedrin, who understood the Psukim differently than an earlier Beis Din, they can disagree with that first Beis Din. You can actually have, in one generation, a Psak from the Sanhedrin that the Halacha is A, and in the very next generation, the next Sanhedrin will say, no, 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 that's not the right way to interpret the Psuk in the Torah, and the Halach is B. Midoraisa, which is a wild thing. Not Midorabanan. On a Torah level, I will interpret the Halach as A, and in the next generation, I will interpret the HaTorah to be Halacha B. We'll see an amazing Rambam in a second who says this very, very clearly. However, and that's the principle of Elu ve'elu, Divrei Elokim Chayim, right? That you have to follow each person, each rabbi is entitled to his opinion when it comes to interpreting the Torah. But if you have a rabbinic law, what's the rule if we make a takana? Can the next generation go and uproot a rabbinic law? No, they can't. It has to be Gadol b'chacham v'minyan. The Gemara says they have to be as great in number and as wisdom. It's a funny thing, right? It's a funny concept. When it comes to interpreting and dedicating what is Torah law from Hashem, the next generation can simply come and, you know, erase the whiteboard and put a new mitzvah on there based on their interpretation. That, we're like, oh, it's okay, you guys messed around with what you said before, that's okay. But when it comes to rabbinic law, we're so strict, it's so odd, right? They said you have to wash, you know, my macharon, rabbinic law. And we're still washing my macharon, even though we use a fork and knife nowadays, we're not concerned our hands are messy. Still, we can't get rid of my macharon. It's a rabbinic law. Why am I so, so strict that the next generation, the whole thing seems backwards, right? So I want to give a mashal to explain how this works. If a Rosh Hashiva is giving a shir, and one of the Talmidim in the shir have a different understanding of the Gemara, of the Rishon, the Rosh Hashiva has this fantastic 45-minute, you know, structure to explain a complicated Gemara and come up with a halacha and to interpret the Rishon, and he pulls this all together, this majestical, beautiful piece of Torah, and in the back of the room, guy raises his hand and says, oh, but this is 100% against the Gemara, you know, in Sanhedrin, and Daf, you know, Tzadi Vav, you know, the whole shir collapses. That's it. When we're talking about the MS of the Torah, so everyone's entitled to understand the MS of the Torah. I can have an interpretation, you can come with your interpretation, as long as we're all following the rules of how to interpret the Torah, everyone can come. And just because you're a Rosh Hashiva, you're the head of the Sanhedrin, doesn't mean that your opinion cannot be undone by a person who's not as smart as you, if they have a correct understanding of the Torah. But let's say the Rosh Hashiva comes up with a rule, a takana. No cell phones in the Beis Medrash. No cell phones in the Beis Medrash. So what's going to happen? The guy in second year Beis Medrash will say, well, I think there should be cell phones in the Beis Medrash. What does that mean? We're not trying to understand the MS of the sugya of the Torah here. I made a takana. I made a rule for the betterment of the people. Your opinion doesn't matter. Because when it comes to a takana, it's a din in seniority. It's a law in who is bigger. The bigger person can make the takana. Not the bigger person can have the better understanding of MS of what the Torah means. And that's why it makes sense. When it comes to interpreting a law of the Torah, so the next generation of the Sanhedrin can say, well, we see it differently, and the whole thing changes. But when it comes to rabbinic law, it's 100% a rule in seniority, in establishing a law. And therefore, unless you are as senior as the people who put in place my machronim, you know, Bishul Akum, Muksa on Shabbos, all of those things, then you can't undo it. Because it's made there as a protection for the Torah. And therefore, since it's coming as a law of seniority to effect a change for all the Jewish people to protect the Torah, you need to have the same seniority and the same ability as them. Let's see this all inside the Rambam. I just elaborated for the last... Yeah.
When you say Gadol Chacham V'minyan, do you mean bigger in number and wisdom or the same in number?
It says Gadol Chacham V'minyan. So it says Gadol Chacham. What does that mean practically? I'm not 100% sure. I don't know. Also, I don't think we even know how to measure Chachma. I don't even know what the tools are to measure that amount. But let's look at the Rambam. The Rambam says this clearly, but I think it's important to notice because many people don't realize this, that when it comes to Torah laws, they can change back and forth. In rabbinic laws, they're very, very strict. The Rambam in Hilchos Mamrim in Perek Beis. Based in HaGadol Shadarshu, Be'achas Min Hamidos, a Sanhedrin that comes and uses one of the principles of understanding the Torah, Kal v'chomer, Gzeres Shava, Klal u'Prat, all these things we find in the Gemara. Kafima shenira be'eneyam shedinkach. According to their eyes, this is how they see the law. V'danu din, and they paskin based on their interpretation of the Torah law. V'amar achareyam based in achar, and then comes another based in the next generation. Another Sanhedrin. V'nir lo tam achar listor osodin. And they see a reason why the interpretation of the Torah law from the previous generation was not correct. Hareza soser. They knock down that structure. V'dan kafi mashira ebeinav. And they must paskin according to the way they see that Torah law. Shinamar. Ela shofet asher yeh b'yamim ha'hem. Each judge according to the generation he lives in. Ein atachayv l'alechas. Ela achar basin shibadarecha. You must only follow the basin of your generation, how they interpret the Torah. Based in Shigazu Gzeira, but a base that made a rabbinic law, Dindar Rabbanan, Ohiskinu Takana, right? Either the positive or the negative in the language of the Rambam. Vinhigo Minhag, or they established a Minhag. A Minhag here means something like Hoshanos, right? The Gemara says in Sukkah that Hoshanos is a Minhag Nevi'im. It was a Takana from the Nevi'im that was established. But Pasha called Darbach Chayzor, and it was accepted by all the Jewish people. That's another discussion as well for another time. And then in the next generation, a new Sanhedrin comes. They now want to come and uproot the first Takana that was established by the previous Sanhedrin. Or that Minog, they are unable to. Unless they are as great as them, or greater than them, Gadol min harisham, they are greater than them in wisdom and in number. And that shows the power of the Chazal when it comes to these laws. So hopefully we gave a number of important points, overviews of appreciation of rabbinic law, of how it works out, the Takanos and Gzeros, how we can apply them also to our own Avodas Hashem.